This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program blesses you, encourages you, and perhaps even challenges you. Hope you learned something this morning. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. BDC Ministries, all lowercase one word, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can download it and pass it on to others as an attachment to an email. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to hear your comments or take your prayer requests. We would take them seriously. Now, starting in January, we've been looking at words that we ought to be familiar with that help us to understand really what the Bible is all about. The Bible is a revelation, really, of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it deals with many different aspects of our relationship with Him and our understanding of His work. And so we started out looking at the word beginnings on January 7th, and then on January 14th we looked at warnings. And if you haven't listened to that program, I wish you'd go back to my website and look at the January 14th website program on warnings. And then on January 21st, we talked about worry, because we all have problems with that issue. At least I think all of us do. Some people maybe don't have as much of a problem as I do, but we do worry, and we worry about the future. And last time on January 28th, we looked at hope. But we're coming into February now, and I want to look at a word that is often used, and I think sometimes it's very poorly understood, and that's the word faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, reading from the New King James Version, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." We looked at hope last time, which is the confidence that we have about the future because of our faith. It's not that we hope to be saved, it's that because we're saved, we have a future to look forward to, and hope is that positive outlook we have because of our faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. And if I were to read this in a more current translation, which some of you, of course, would not like, but I think gives some helpful explanation of this passage, and I'm going to read from what's called the New Living Translation, it would read like this: faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So faith is very much a part of our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we talk about our believing, but when we look at faith, it's interesting from Hebrews 11 that the examples of faith are found in the Old Testament. The word faith is not found there so much, but the word believe is. Abraham, for example, believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's in Romans 4 and verse 3. So Abraham believed God, it was his faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, it wasn't his works, but it was his confidence in the Lord. But of course, when we look at his confidence in the Lord, it did produce a work. So faith is really depending on the promises of God. And when people say they have faith, I always ask and I wonder what they have faith in. That is, who are they believing, or what are they believing? People have a lot of faith in a lot of different things today, and some of those things are dependable and some are not. And so the quality of our faith depends upon the quality of the promise that we are believing in, and the quality of the promise we're believing in depends on the quality or the character of the person we're believing. So particularly when it comes to salvation, we're looking at our trust or our believing in the promises of God. I have many people who say they aren't sure that they have believed right when it comes to the matter of their salvation. And when they say that, I ask them, would you rather have me tell you that you're saved, or would you rather have God tell you you're saved? Because the quality of the promise is what gives us the assurance of our salvation. 1 John 5, I think it's verse 13, says, "These things I have written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, the reason we know that we have eternal life is because of the promise that God has made, and the reason we're confident in the promise God has made is because if we read the Bible and study it, and if we look at the experiences we have in life, we can have confidence in the person who was willing to die for us at that place called Calvary. Now, when we look at faith, some people say they have faith in a more general way, and I have no problem with that. That is, when we run into difficulties in life, and if we really know that God is a good God, we will say, well, God will take care of me. I have confidence in God. And when we say that, that's good. And I think that there is a place for that kind of generalized faith, confidence in God. But unfortunately, many people who have never come to a personal understanding of their own sin and have never trusted in Christ with regard to the specific promises made with regard to salvation say that they have faith in God. And I often wonder what that means. Well, they have faith that there is a God, really, and they have faith that God has been a creator. But when they say they have faith in God, they are talking about a general confidence that they have. And as a Christian, I have a general confidence that God is never going to leave me nor forsake me, particularly when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God so that these other things, the necessities of life, can be added unto me. So we do know that there is a place for a general kind of faith that just means we believe in a good God and that whatever he wants will be the best for us. Now, that is faith, believing in God. But I really am more concerned this morning about specific faith, because I know that some people say when they talk about faith, they're talking about their particular religious affiliation. And that's really not the way faith is used in the Bible. And so we need to make sure, really, that if we are trusting in God's promises, that we have good promises to believe. And, of course, those promises have to do with what God has said about his Son. He says that the gospel is or Paul says, "I have delivered unto you that which I also received," how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the scripture. And that's a promise that Christ has died for our sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, Paul had his confidence in the Lord. He had met him on the Damascus Road. And so, really, we need to make sure that our faith for eternity is rooted in the promises of God. We don't need to know the whole Bible to be sure we're saved, but we need to know that God does promise us salvation if we trust in him. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's the promise of God. If we have faith in him, we're not condemned. But he who believes not, that is, who has rejected the Lord Jesus, they're condemned already because they have not believed. They've actively rejected. They have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, again, when a person says that they believe, I not only wonder what they have believed, but who they have believed. That's a problem in our day. Because I listen to the news, I want to know what's going on so I can carry on conversations with people that are knowledgeable and so that I don't seem ignorant. But when I listen to the news, I never know for sure if what I'm getting is the truth, if it's based on fact. There are some sources that I go to that I think are more reliable than others, but all of us have biases. All of us have the desire to listen to people that we believe in, that we that believe the same things we believe in. Many people have their faith in the way they've been raised by their parents, and other people have faith in some mentor that has guided them in their understanding of the scripture. And in some cases, those people who have raised them, and in some cases those mentors, have guided them to specific promises that they can have faith in. But we need to be careful, because it's difficult to understand what is true and what is false in our day in a practical way. And I just want to say that I am convinced that the Bible is the truth. But the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And one of the reasons I believe that the Bible is true is because it describes me in a way that I would never allow someone in this world to describe me. But God knows my heart, and he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then he says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. And so I know God understands who I am, but I'm also glad that while he understands who I am, he loves me. And so we always quote those beautiful gospel verses, for God so loved the world, that included me, that whosoever believeth or has faith in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the promise of God, and I depend on that promise. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And when I look at the Lord, I begin to study the Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled, the prophetic Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled when the Lord came the first time. And if you begin to study those Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled, then the Bible becomes living, and it's a miraculous book, and it's a living book, and we can have confidence in the promises that are made in that book. And that's the kind of faith we need, believing in the truth of the Bible. And then when we don't have specific promises, we believe in the goodness of God. But we should not be believing in the faith of our fathers unless it's biblical. And we should not be believing in the faith of a denomination unless it's biblical. And we need to go back to the Bible to see if what we believe is biblical. Because when you ask, how do you get faith? Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us. It says, faith, that is, believing in God, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there's something miraculous about reading the Bible and believing what it says. And as we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, and will convict us that the promises of God with regard to the Lord are something we can depend upon. And I hope, friend, that you're not depending for your salvation on something you have done, Fod. I hope you're depending for your salvation on what God has done for you. And I hope that salvation is anchored in the Word of God. And our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened. Bless this lesson today. We thank thee for thy love, and we commit ourselves to you in our Savior's name. Amen.